Thank you, Steve. It's Bill. It's Wendy. And joining us in the studio is Chicago Tribune architectural expert, columnist. He's Blair Kamen. Hi, Blair. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. Great to be here.
Nice to see you again.
Under these circumstances.
Yes.
It's good to see you, except
good
these circumstances are not good.
I know.
You are feeling the same pain that I'm feeling. Wendy is not a Cubs fan, but even she is feeling a little bit of the pain right now.
I am. You guys need to win this. I don't want you to continue to be one of those teams that wins years and years and years in a row. But you know what? It's time. We had it in 2005. It's your turn. But something better happened tonight.
Thanks, Wendy. That's very empathetic of you.
Mm-hmm. I do mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not a Cubs fan, but this team deserves it. Although the last couple of games, I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It's been tough.
It's so hard to win when you're scoring zero runs. You can win every once in a while with one run or two, but if you look traditionally through baseball, the teams that score zero runs almost never win.
That is very incredibly insightful of you,
Thank
Bill.
You very
I mean,
much.
That's what he does.
I'm sitting in for
amazing.
Pete Rose tonight after the game.
Yeah, right.
You've written an article about, and I'm not saying this for any other reason than I mean this, the majesty of the two stadiums involved.
Yeah.
Are really very different, aren't they?
They are. Wrigley Field and Dodger Stadium are like the yin and yang of baseball stadiums. You've got Wrigley, the cozy ballpark, you know, set right into a very dense urban neighborhood. And then you've got Dodger Stadium, the kind of prototypical colossal stadium built for the automotive age, you know, carved into a hillside about a mile from downtown Los Angeles. So they are really diametrically opposed. And yet they have something in common, which is age. They are the second and third oldest ballparks in the majors.
Fenway the
Fenway the oldest. And quality, enduring quality. They are both beautiful works of sports architecture.
And I'll add this to it. In both cases, ownership, team ownership, is doing whatever they can to update the facilities to make them even better.
Yeah, exactly right. I just got an email this morning from a Dodger fan who was bemoaning the previous ownership, which had let Dodger Stadium kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
And they're thrilled that the team has brought in, you know, very good architects and architectural consultants. Janet Marie Smith is actually their architectural consultant. She was the one who worked with the Baltimore Orioles on Oriole Park at Camden Yards, the revolutionary retro ballpark. So they've got top talent out there, absolutely. Off the field as well as on.
Oh, yeah. Got to admit, let's start with Wrigley, really one of the most charming sports stadiums anywhere. A couple years ago when there was all the talk about the Cubs leaving that area and going somewhere else, I wasn't the only one thinking, oh, please don't.
Would have been a shame.
It would have been a shame.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I think that it's great that the Cubs stayed. It's great that they have followed essentially the Fenway Park template for trying to take an ancient ballpark and bring it into the modern age. I am not a huge fan of the noise emanating from the signs.
Yeah.
It sort of disrupts what was once a kind of quiet pastoral atmosphere. But I think, you know, as in terms of the way the signs look and the information they give to fans, they work pretty well. So they've done a good job and they're still in the middle of it.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's another like 3 or 4 years till they finish.
Yeah.
Wrigley is really, a treasure, and obviously it has an incredible intimacy to it and a real sense of history. And Dodger Stadium though has its own sense of history, but it's just more recent history and it's, you know, LA kind of history. So it's the history of, you know, the drive-in culture history, which is very different from Wrigley, you know, right next to the L and right in the middle of a very dense city.
And I think a lot of us listening have been to Wrigley. I've never been to Dodger Stadium. It's like on the other side of a hill in a little ravine. Not such a little ravine, actually.
Well, right. It was carved into this area, this hillside near downtown Los Angeles called Chavez Ravine.
Named for J.C. Chavez of NSYNC. Did you know that?
I did not.
Named for him.
Right. And it was really built for the auto age. What's fascinating about this ballpark is really the parking lot around it.
Yeah.
So L.A., right?
Yeah.
It's a tiered parking lot, a series of terraces that let people drive up to the ballpark and enter their seating section right at the same level as that seating section at grade, in other words. So you would just, you know, get out, walk right in, you know, and go right into your seats. You didn't have to go up ramps.
Didn't have to go to a different gate from where you parked.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And it's like a shopping mall. It's, you know, so LA.
They have to do that because a lot of the fans have photo shoots immediately after the game. Right. So they have to be able to get out of there very quickly.
Well, I mean, I thought it was interesting last night that the attendance there, it's a 56,000 seat ballpark. Right. They didn't fill up the stadium.
No, they didn't.
They didn't fill it up last night.
No, they didn't.
If it were Chicago, you know, you would never see that.
And the crowd arrives. I mean, this has always been a joke about Los Angeles, but the crowd arrives fashionably late.
Right.
Whenever they would show crowd shots in the first inning and into the early second inning, there were empty seats everywhere.
Absolutely.
Filled up, and then they leave early.
Right. Although Larry King was there.
Yeah, how could you not notice
early. But what's interesting is that LA is changing. It's becoming more dense, less sprawling,
yeah,
and somewhat more dependent on mass transit. So, for example, the Dodgers now have a dedicated bus lane on which a bus travels from downtown Union Station in LA mm-hmm. to the ballpark. And like about 3,000 or 4,000 people use it at night. So, you know, there are even there the kind of age of transit and Uber, even they have a dedicated Uber lot.
Wow.
Where you can get picked up after games. So, you know,
it's handy.
All the habits that are, the archetype of the park, the original archetype is very much auto age, but LA is changing in many ways. And,
yeah,
and that's reflected in the way it works today.
All right. Does the stadium matter in who's going to win tonight?
Absolutely. It always matters. I mean, think of Wrigley Field with the Winds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they play a huge role in determining whether it's a hitter's park or a pitcher's park. To some extent, even in L.A., the stadium shapes the action. It's much more spacious than Wrigley. So it's traditionally been known as a pitcher's park, although as we saw, unfortunately, last night, mm-hmm. you can't hit home runs mm-hmm. there. But it, you know, the Dodgers have molded their team traditionally around pitching, and that's because they you know, live and die by the setting of a pitcher's park. That's
you don't
what they're in.
Realize how spacious the outfield is from the regular camera shots, but every once in a while they'll show you an overhead shot.
Oh, yeah.
And you say to yourself, boy, is that a large outfield.
Oh, there are balls hit to the outfield where they'd be home runs in Wrigley.
Yeah.
Like in the power alleys. They were saying that last night. You know, that would have been out, but not in Dodger Stadium. It's just this vast, you know, expanse of grass out there.
Wasn't there a time where it was referred to, I seem to remember as a kid, where they called the stadium Chavez Ravine?
People still call it that.
They do.
In other words, the name of the neighborhood is still synonymous with the stadium.
Yeah.
The formal name, though, is Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And they moved mountains to make this happen?
They literally filled in ravines. They cut off the top of a mountain. And then, of course, there's a story of, you know, the Mexican-American neighborhood that was there in Chavez Ravine. It's complicated, but essentially there was supposed to be a federally funded public housing project that was built there. So many of the families were moved out in the early 1950s. Some remained. But then when the Dodgers cut the deal to go to Chavez Ravine, you know, many families were evicted from their homes. So, you know, again, as there's a kind of, although it kind of has this almost Disneyland type innocence to it,
mm-hmm.
There's a kind of, you know, dark underside to the story of this ballpark.
And people are still upset about some of the things. And I say we blame that on Clayton Kershaw. And we say, you got a problem with that. You take it up with Clayton Kershaw. Take him out.
Yeah. you know, it's interesting, though, that, you know, Wrigley is still very much a neighborhood ballpark.
Sure.
It is literally right in the middle of a neighborhood. Even Fenway Park is not truly a neighborhood ballpark. It backs up to the Massachusetts Turnpike. And I got some emails today from people in LA saying, well, you know, there are some neighborhoods near Dodger Stadium, like Echo Park.
Yeah.
You can't just walk across the street and get to the game, though.
Right. Well, they were saying, yeah, we can walk there. But in other words, I mean, it's not the same. It's
no.
From an LA vantage point, that's close. But from a Chicago vantage point, you know, the stadium is still more like a shopping mall than a neighborhood ballpark like Wrigley.
Last week when the Cubs were playing the Giants, happier times in brackets.
Yeah.
They showed all these shots And I'm watching with my wife and my daughters, and they don't watch a lot of baseball. So they're showing these shots of these guys in boats in McCovey Cove behind right. Giants Park.
Right.
And my wife said, what's that all about? And I go, people sit out there in a boat and they hope a ball comes over, and then they keep the ball. And she goes, they sit there for 3 hours in a boat hoping a ball will come over? Yeah. How often does that happen?
Just like the Ballhawks on Sheffield. And,
it's their version.
But what's the difference of sitting in the stand for 3 hours or sitting on a boat?
You can't see the game. Oh. You cannot see the game at all.
I guess that would be stupid.
You know, I think what Wrigley has become a model in so many ways for the new generation of ballparks. It's quirky. It has personality. It is very much interacting with its setting. And that you really see that in a place like AT&T Park in San Francisco, where the famous, you know, McCovey Cove has become this kind of famous place.
Yeah.
I think that what's interesting is that as all these downtown parks have been built in places like San Diego, Baltimore, Denver, and others, Dodger Stadium has become kind of an outlier. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is, even though it's close to downtown LA, it might as well be like 20 miles away. And it's built according to this old suburban prototype of the kind of concrete donut stadiums, the awful multi-purpose stadiums that went up in the 60s. It's much better than they are.
Yeah.
But it's kind of this very rare and now revered outlier for, for a mid 19th, 20th century model of what a stadium should, how it should fit into the city and also how it should be designed.
Sure.
One thing I noticed last night and Cubs fans can notice this tonight was that the, at the top of Dodger Stadium, there's a beautiful thin concrete canopy. You'll see it in the kind of shots that are cutting across from third base or from first base. And it's lit on the underside. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that it's thin, it's light. It's meant to the lighting is meant to like approximate the way that the sun hits the underside of the canopy in the morning or afternoon.
Oh.
So it's a really lovely detail. I didn't note it in my piece, but I noticed it last night and I put it up on my Twitter feed today. It's really, it's just a, you know, God is in the details, as they say,
nice
right?
Yeah, nice little touch.
And so if the Cubs don't do well tonight, you can at least
don't say that. Don't say that. Blair Kamen is
hopefully
here.
Hopefully that won't happen.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Blair Kamen is here, writer for the Chicago Tribune, architectural genius. There, I said it. We'll be back with more in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Blair Kamen is our guest. He writes about architecture for your Chicago Tribune. Read him whenever you get a chance. What lesson, Blair, do you think the Cubs, the owners, the Ricketts family learned from what went on at Soldier Field with the Bears? When they decided they were going to upgrade the stadium and make it a little more modern, what did they learn from what went on over at Soldier Field?
Honestly, I don't think the Ricketts looked at Soldier Field. I think that really they looked at
No one likes to look at it. It's like a bedpan landed from space.
I should have used that in my column. Honestly, I think it was a very different, in other words, the basic idea of Soldier Field was a modern architecture that was in counterpoint in a kind of dialogue, in my view, unsuccessful on the outside with the historic part. Clearly, the what's been done at Wrigley is conceptually different. In other words, it's new architecture that harmonizes with the old, and it looks like it's always been there.
Yes, it does.
In other words, even the scoreboards are in that kind of forest green with the yellow lettering that, you know, melds in with the stadium. And that was really the model at Fenway, that there was a kind of comfort factor to bringing in this to what was new.
Mm-hmm.
So they went about it. They've done it in so many ways. You know, the Fenway model, they brought in Theo, they brought in some of the same architects who worked on Fenway. They brought in, you know, former Red Sox.
Yep.
So we're kind of like Fenway West.
I guess we are.
You could say, yeah.
So do you change your mind on which stadium is your favorite? Because they really all have great attributes.
There are, not all of them. I mean, there are some, we were talking earlier that, you know, U.S. Cellular, when it opened, was a real disaster.
It was terrible.
It's gotten better.
And it's more fun for the family with the fundamentals and the funnel cakes for me.
Yeah, that's true. And the food is really good there.
It is.
Much better than Wrigley's. But
but the team, a little different.
I think that, you know, it's wonderful to wander through ballparks because they have, baseball parks in particular, have a unique flavor that is shaped by their city, and they're all slightly different. You know, whereas a football field is, you know, it's 100 yards and it's just, you know, it's generic.
Yeah.
So, you know, being in Fenway, you get the kind of raucous, hard-edged, you know, atmosphere. When you're in Pittsburgh at their new park, you get this wonderful view of the downtown skyline
it's
and the
beautiful.
Bridges across the river. When you're in Coors Field in Denver, you know, you get that Lodo, lower downtown vibe, the, you know, the brick warehouse district. When you're in San Francisco, you know, you get McCovey Cove and the kind of craziness of San Francisco with a giant Coke bottle.
Yeah.
These are things I, you know, these are things that I think are really, these are good. I mean, some of the new stadiums honestly are more like stadiums than ballparks. In mm-hmm. other words, I make a distinction between a kind of intimate two deck, you know, small ballpark like Wrigley, and Pittsburgh is like this, but some of the others are like essentially stadiums with like window dressing that makes them look like Wrigley. You know, they slapped on some brick and tried to make it cute and quirky and all that. And I mean, ultimately it's about the fans' experience. You know, you're sitting there
That's
in
true.
The seats, you know, how close do you feel to the action? Can you hear what's going on? Do you sense like you're connected to the game?
Mm-hmm.
And do you also sense the special flavor of the city and the neighborhood or the area that you're in? Those are things that I think really color our experience of a baseball game and make these places memorable.
Yeah.
And it's why, you know, it obviously explains why the Cubs, through all of their travails, you know, over more than a century now, have been able to survive, because Wrigley was, as much as the team, the ballpark was the attraction.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. The one thing that goes away, and I don't know how you fix this, is when you build a new stadium, all of a sudden that feeling of history you get when you go into Boston or you go into Wrigley, certainly, there's no way to duplicate that.
There is no way to duplicate, but there are ways to make new traditions. And fans want... And also, I mean, if your stadium was like Cleveland is a great example. The Indians played in, I think, one of those terrible 1960s stadiums. The new park, Progressive Field, which is actually no longer new. It's more than 20 years old.
Yeah.
Formerly Jacobs Field, now Progressive Field, is one of the better new ballparks. It's got, it kind of has some of the flavor with the steelwork of the flats, that industrial area in Cleveland. I love the light poles there. They're very thin and they have these thin lights atop them. They're known in architectural circles as the toothbrush lights.
Yeah, right.
Because they're, you know, shaped like a toothbrush.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I think that, you know, these places are beloved because they are these kind of Edenic escapes, you know, from everyday life, the contours of everyday life. And yeah, they're noisier. They're more like rock arenas, you know, but it's still like, you know, they're fabulous places to go.
Hopefully people will be back at Wrigley to watch some Cubbage. Fingers crossed.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It was always great to talk about baseball architecture and a good diversion right now.
Oh, yeah.
What's been happening
much
in
needed.
The field.
Thank you, Blair. Appreciate
All
it.
Right.
That's Blair
My
Kamen.
Pleasure. Good to talk
Read
to
him
you.
In the Chicago Tribune, would you? We'll take a quick break, and then Roan Annell will be in. Bill and Wendy, WGN.